To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
I posted a video on YouTube on Tuesday, yesterday, about work-life balance. Actually, that isn't what it was about at all, for the simple reason that there's no such thing, something I will come back to in just a minute. But I posted that video in the context of the free series of online events that I'm running at the moment, which, as we speak, is in full swing. If you want to get involved, as I said, it's free, you just use the link in your podcast player. This is going to go on for the next just over a week. The point I was making in that YouTube video is that if you are doing what you love, you're not working. As you will have probably heard me say before, if you find something that is your passion, a word that's used by quite a number of my online program owners, if you find something that you're passionate about, you'll never work another day in your life. Now, I know people think that is trite because the world and life in general is full of everyday challenges. And even if we're doing something that we love, those everyday challenges will come to haunt us and confront us from time to time. For example, bang in the middle of that series of online events that I'm doing at the moment, one of the key pieces of software that I used, actually an online software service for which I paid quite a bit of money, prevented me from doing something that I urgently needed to do. Now, if I were a normal crazy person, and I'll come back to that in a minute as well, if I were a normal crazy person, I probably would have kicked and screamed and lost the head. But it was all sorted out in about 15 minutes by my simply taking a piece of gentle action with the software provider that made it all good without any stress, without any strain, without any kerfuffle at all. I mentioned once again, normal crazy people. It's a phrase I use often. It is a phrase for which I have often been taken to task, but it is actually a scientifically valid phrase because it describes the extent to which 96% of people, in other words, almost everybody you will meet on an ordinary everyday basis, are not in control of their own state of mind. And in fact, it's the other way around, that what is repetitively going on in their head from one day to the next is actually controlling them. They are like mindless puppets. Now, if you're not in control of your own state of mind, I would suggest to you that that is fairly close to the best definition of crazy that you will ever come across. So in relation to this phrase, normal crazy people, I suppose every single episode of this podcast should come with something of a health warning, because the fact of the matter is that we are all, to a greater or lesser extent, or at least from time to time, normal crazy people ourselves. People often bemoan the fact when they talk to me that they have to put up with normal crazy people without perhaps holding a mirror up to themselves from time to time, because we're all only human and from time to time we will slip up and revert back into an automatic knee-jerk reaction to what we think is going on. It happens less and less to a lesser and lesser extent the more you take control of your own state of mind, to the point where it almost never happens at all. Almost. But normal crazy people are trying to do whatever work they're supposed to be doing through a fog of thought. Now, it doesn't matter whether the fog of thought has anything to do with their work or not. The fog of thought is there all of their waking day as a result of 70,000 repetitive thoughts going through their head every day. And yesterday's thoughts are similar to today's, and today's thoughts will be similar to tomorrow's thoughts. In other words, your thoughts are getting in your own way, whether they have anything to do with even today or not. Now, hold on, I need to actually correct myself there, because of all the 70,000 thoughts that are whizzing through your head today, almost none of them has anything to do with today. Because almost all of the 70,000 thoughts in your head are on a repeat loop from the first time that you thought those thoughts before the age of 12 or 13. The neural lab in UCLA in California reckons that perhaps 1 to 2% of the thoughts that we have on an everyday basis may be novel. But even at that, they will have been filtered through the 98 or 99% of repetitive thoughts that create this fog that distances from reality. Now, what if your useless thoughts actually are related to the job that you're doing or the business you're trying to run? Then you're in a much more difficult situation, because you're going to work in the morning and finding it a struggle. Now, most people are in the same boat. So what's the problem with that? Well, the problem, first of all, is that you're making your life needlessly difficult, aren't you? Because it is an awful lot easier to do what you have to do without thinking about how hard it is to do it, or without thinking about how much you'd like to be somewhere else, or how much you dislike the job that you are doing. The minute you start thinking about whatever it is you're doing, you're making whatever it is you're supposed to be doing all the more difficult. That's the second time I've used that phrase, supposed to be doing. Most people, most normal crazy people, are busy, 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 going around in circles, actually doing precious little. Most people are doing stuff that they don't need to do, and in the process don't have enough time to do the things that are important. Most people will confuse the urgent with the important, and most people will find that they don't have enough time to do the things that they love doing, for the simple reason that they're spending too much time doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, because they're not doing them properly, because they are trying to do them through this fog of thought. I want to repeat the words, more or less, of the video that I posted on YouTube yesterday. Because what I said was, and similar today, it may have not escaped your attention that today is a working day. But I'm not working. And even when I was working earlier this morning, I wasn't really working, because I was doing something that I love. Even with the challenges that come from running an online business, even with the challenges that come from talking to people on a regular basis who are in real difficulties, and by that I mean they have pressures and challenges in their lives that they haven't got their heads around yet, because they're still taking the journey of taking control of their state of mind. And even if you're way down that journey, as I said earlier on, we're all only human, and from time to time we will be triggered by events so that we end up reacting to what we think is going on, because we fall back into our original automated state of mind. We revert to type, so to speak. Now, by the way, if you find yourself reverting to type, don't get on your own back. Get off your own case, chill out, give yourself a break, and take credit for the fact that you have noticed that you reacted, or that you're doing something that you would have done habitually in the past. Give yourself a break. The problem most people have in moving forward with their lives into the realization, understanding and experience of who and what they really are is that they will trip themselves up by putting an unnecessary amount of pressure on themselves to move forward and not giving themselves the necessary credit for the leaps forward that they have already taken. Giving ourselves credit is necessary. It's one of the key things that comes out of the flow research from the 1980s and 1990s. If we pat ourselves on the back and say well done to ourselves and celebrate our little wins, it encourages us to move forward. And indeed, as we've said before, because we live our lives in little things called nows, moment to moment, there's no such thing as a little win. Any win is a big win and deserves to be credited. On another note, directly related note, if you're meditating every morning, well, first of all, well done. But secondly, there will be mornings when your meditation doesn't feel as calm or as profound or as effective as other mornings. Don't start analysing your meditation. Don't start wondering whether you're doing it right or wrong. Don't start beating yourself up about the fact that, say, this morning you sat down for 15 minutes and your mind bounced all over the place. Give yourself credit for the fact that you sat down for the 15 minutes. And if you're trying to meditate every morning, but from time to time you miss a morning, don't get all upset about the fact that you have missed a morning, because then you'll start thinking about what kind of a fool you are for having let your mental training slip when you know it's so important with regard to the effect it has in the course of your everyday life. Don't go there. If it's not done, it'll be done when it is done. You see, I think it's very important for us to be gentle with ourselves whilst pushing ourselves to the point of having one foot outside our comfort zone, something I will come back to in a couple of minutes. So it's a balancing act, but it has nothing to do with work-life balance because, as I said right in the beginning, work-life balance is a myth. There's no such thing. There's only one of you. There isn't a work you and an outside work you. There is you. Now, the problem is you don't know you, for the simple reason that if you are buried in thought, you only think you know who you think you are. We've talked on many occasions about what cognitive psychology calls the conceptual self, the stuff that we learned about ourselves during our formative years that gives us our self-limiting beliefs and creates self-doubt and lack of self-confidence. By the way, they are the most important and most dangerous of the 70,000 thoughts that are running through your head repeatedly every day. And because they're running through your head repeatedly, it feels normal, it feels okay. I'll stay in my comfort zone. My comfort zone, not so bad. The flow research tells us that we need to have, as I said a minute ago, one foot outside our comfort zone on a daily basis, because otherwise we become complacent. Now, what do I mean by that? I don't mean that we need to push ourselves all of the time. I believe that we put one foot outside our comfort zone when we are present. Indeed, we may actually put both feet outside our comfort zone when we are present. And it is no big deal. We're not being brave or courageous. We've just stepped out of our comfort zone by being present, by having presence, which, as we've said on many occasions in this podcast, will enable you to do just what you need to do without thinking about it. Say what you need to say without wondering whether you'll get away with it or it's appropriate to say it. And move forward effortlessly by just being the right person in the right place at the right time. Now, for most people, that is a foreign land, because they are afraid to put a foot wrong and therefore they never put a foot anywhere except in the same place that they've put their foot every day. That is, when they open their mouth, they put their foot in it, generally speaking, because they don't know what they're doing, because they're not in charge of their own state of mind, and they're happy to be in their comfort zone regardless of how uncomfortable it might be, because everybody else, or almost everybody else, is in the same boat. And in evolutionary times, there was strength and safety in numbers. And nowadays, in the 21st century, it's comforting to be with your tribe for a couple of pints on a Thursday or Friday night. It's comfortable to be with the girls in the restaurant or bar on a Friday evening. It's comfortable to be a member of this club or that club. It's comfortable to be out walking or hiking or hill walking with acquaintances. Most of them aren't your friends. It's comforting to be part of something else. Why? Because we're not comfortable in our own company. Research from Stanford University in the dim and distant past. Now, I'm not, just as an aside, talking about the Stanford prison experiment. That's an entirely different matter altogether. And no self-respecting psychologist would get away with attempting to do that kind of research these days. But I'm talking about a different piece of research, which would similarly not happen these days, where people were locked in isolation for hours on end. And it was discovered that it takes about 12 or 13 hours for somebody with no other distraction in the world to drive themselves crazy as a result of being uncomfortable with themselves, or perhaps more to the point, being uncomfortable with their own thoughts. The comfort zone that 96% of people on this planet are existing in is an uncomfortable zone. As I said a minute ago, it feels okay because everybody else, or almost everybody else, is in the same boat. And not only, by the way, is there safety in numbers, but most people will find it more than uncomfortable to be different from their friends and acquaintances, to be different from other people, to stand head and shoulders above everybody else. And in the process, they are belittling themselves and they're making their little lives in their little uncomfortable comfort zones even smaller. You need to get out of your comfort zone. All you need to do that is become present. Because the minute you're present, you're free from your thoughts, and it is your thoughts that create your uncomfortable comfort zone. I quoted an online program owner somewhere or other over the last few days. I've made a lot of videos and done a lot of recordings because of the free online series of events that I'm doing at the moment. But I quoted an online program owner who talked about his comfort zone in terms of it being akin to a prison cell. In other words, effectively what he was articulating was that he was held prisoner by his own thoughts. Now, before I get away from that, so many people over the last few weeks with whom I have been talking have used the phrase, I'm overthinking, or I'm lost in thought, or I'm spending too much time in my own head. They are simply phrases that aptly describe the state of mind of the normal crazy person. But back to my friend who said that his comfort zone was more or less like a prison cell. And like most normal crazy people, he would try to beautify his prison cell. In other words, I'm not going to change anything much in my life, but I'm going to spend money on a bigger car to make me feel better about myself. Or I'm going to go on a nice holiday to distract myself from the fact that I am uncomfortable in my own comfort zone. He said that's akin to putting up posters on the wall of my self-constructed prison cell. He said, but the more I have meditated and the more I've begun to realise that I'm not who I thought I was, and the more I have come into the present moment and felt my own energy when I meditate. And by the way, we meditate to feel our own energy so that we can have access to our own energy when we're not meditating. That's how the whole process actually works. But this guy said, the more I have got into the real me, the more I have realised that all I have to do is step out of my prison cell. So he stepped out of his prison cell. Figuratively speaking, of course, for the simple reason that there is no prison cell. The minute he said, I stepped out of that prison cell, I realised, ooh, I thought the door was locked, but the door was unlocked. And in fact, when I stepped through the door, I realised there was no prison cell at all. And suddenly I found myself in the real world. And if you've heard this quote before, pardon me for repeating it again, but he said the minute he had stepped out into the real world, opportunity met him on a gentle breeze. That's how the world really works, and that is how you step outside your comfort zone. There is no courage required, no bravery required. You don't have to push yourself. You don't have to come up with a plan for doing it. You just need to develop your ability to turn up to the here and now, to turn up to your own life. And the more you do that, the more effortless it becomes. And the more effortless it becomes, the more you do it. That's back to the circle of encouragement that we briefly alluded to earlier on. But the more that happens, the more you're going to find yourself liberated from all the things that held you back to the point where you won't be entertaining those thoughts anymore. If entertaining indeed is the right word. How does that translate into the cut and thrust of our everyday lives when all manner of crap is being thrown at us? And by the way, if there are no real challenges going on around us, the normal mind will ensure that it creates the challenges. In the same way, as I referred to the Stanford experiment a couple of minutes ago, in the same way, if there's nobody else to distract me, I'm very good at distracting myself. That's how the normal crazy mind works. Not only will I distract myself, I'll beat myself up, and I will begin to confirm to myself that all the things that I thought were wrong with me actually are indeed wrong. And the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with you at all. You are perfect. You are perfect when you turn up because you're just flowing energy. And that's what my friend meant by getting to know the real him. And that is what I meant a couple of minutes ago when I said one of the key purposes of meditation is to feel and experience your own flowing energy. So, as a result of having become acquainted with it, that energy is available to you when you need it most, which is, for example, to meet the challenges that everyday life throws at us and to rise to those challenges effortlessly, so they're not really challenges at all. In fact, they actually confirm to you again. It's another circle of encouragement. They confirm to you again that you are up to doing whatever you need to do to move yourself forward effortlessly in your life. But more than that, when we're in that zone, it's not just that we're up to meeting the challenges. It's that we are up to doing the things that would never occur to a normal thinking mind to even put on a to-do list. You end up doing the things that feel right because you're in tune with your intuition, which is at the core of your flowing energy. And when you're in that zone, you are not just going to do what feels right, by the way, without thinking about it. You know, somebody said to me in an email during the course of this free online series of events, can you talk about decision making? You don't have to make decisions when you're in the zone. Your doing mind makes the decisions for you because it knows what's going on. It knows what you need to do, and it knows what you need to do in the context of the direction in which you intend your life to flow. Listen back to that sentence. That's really important. Now, most people, by the way, just as an aside, will say to me, I don't know in which direction I want my life to flow. You don't need to know. Or actually, more to the point, people who say that think they don't know. They don't realise that they actually do know deep down, because way down deep inside, when we liberate our flowing energy, our own core understanding is that we want out of life what is best for us out of life. And that has nothing to do with what we think we want. It has nothing to do with grand goals or objectives. It has to do with the here and now, enjoying your life in the here and now, living your life to the full in the here and now. Which brings me all the way back to the start of this episode. And the fact that if you are doing something that you love to do, it's not work anymore. But even if you're doing something that could never in a million years be described as your passion, it isn't what you do for a living, so to speak. It's how you do it. Consider where a lot of the flow research emanated in the 1980s. People working on the production lines for the auto industry in Detroit, doing mind-numbing jobs, or at least mind-numbing jobs for the people whose minds were already numbed by the 70,000 thoughts going through their head. Because what that research discovered was that there were people doing those apparently mind-numbing jobs who were in flow. It's not what they were doing, it's how they were doing it. And that doesn't just refer to work. It refers to anything and everything. And in fact, it probably even refers to an even greater extent to the situations in which we find ourselves with our loved ones. Or, should I say, people that we claim to love. And what I mean by that is, if you're not all there, if you're buried in your own head, overthinking and lost in the world of thought, you are a useless article to the people that you claim to love. You may actually be a danger to the people that you love because you're operating from thought. You're not there at all. People often talk about, oh, I'll be there for you, but they don't know what it means because they're not in charge of their own state of mind. Being there means being present. All we have to do is be present. Then it doesn't matter what we have to do now. We'll do it the right way. We'll do it body and soul. We've talked in the past about immersing yourself in what you're doing now, immersing yourself in the task at hand, regardless of what the task at hand is. And, you know, that's really important. People often think they only need to immerse themselves in the important stuff. How would you know the important stuff if it reared up and slapped you across the face if you're buried in thought? You only think you know that certain things are important. Every moment is important in your life because every moment is your life. And if you're not present to your life in this moment right now, how are you going to be present in the next moment? Because one now sets up the next now. So if I'm on the little hamster wheel of 70,000 thoughts every day, I'm not going to simply be able to say to myself, I got off that. I'm not going to think those thoughts anymore. Or should I say more precisely, I'm not going to give attention, my attention, to the thoughts that enable me survive from day to day. That's the rubbish that's going on in our head that keeps us in our uncomfortable comfort zone. You need to train yourself through meditation to develop your ability to be present. And the key message from today's episode is that being present will open the doors not just to opportunity, but to synchronicity. Now, synchronicity, as we've said over the last few weeks, is opportunity that is just for you. Opportunity that is, in effect, a signpost for you to move forward on this wonderful adventure of your own life. And synchronicity isn't something that happens, I was going to say to you, synchronicity isn't something that happens for you. Synchronicity is a joint venture. It's a joint venture between the energy of the universe and your own energy when you turn up in the here and now. In other words, we're co-creators of synchronicity. In short, all you need to do today is turn up. You don't even need to consider why you're turning up today. You don't even need to have a plan for today. You don't even need to have goals for today. Because deep down, your flowing energy has a very important intention for you for this day. And that intention is that you're going to live this day like you mean it, as a result of which you're going to be the right person in the right place at the right time, as a result of which you're going to do the right things and avoid doing everything else. You're going to say the right things and keep your mouth shut when it is appropriate. And you're going to be immersed in what you're doing so that you effortlessly create the synchronicities that move you from this now to the next now to the next now as today progresses. We tie ourselves in knots as human beings, thinking that I want my ideal job, thinking that I don't like this job, wishing that I was somewhere else, you know, saying to myself, today is Wednesday, it's only a few days to the weekend. We tie ourselves in knots because our thoughts tie ourselves in knots. That's what they do. Our thoughts tie ourselves in the kind of knots that bind us within our comfort zone or prison cell to a shadow experience of reality, a shadow experience of our life, and a shadow experience of who we really are. I was going to say, let your thoughts go. You don't need to do that. And indeed, it isn't your thoughts that are holding you back. It is how your automatic mind pays your attention to the thoughts that then, as a result of your paying them your attention, hold you back. You just need to pay attention to the here and now. You need to immerse yourself in what you're doing. You need to immerse yourself in this now, in this task in hand. Because regardless of what the task in hand now is, it is important because this is your life.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.